And this title of this message today is Crave the Word. Crave the Word. Our text is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And remember, Peter's writing to people who have been born again unto a living hope. People, we have a living hope. We are born a second time. We were born once, and then we were born again. We were brought out of darkness into the light. We are brought from death into life. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And so this is who Peter is talking to here. So let's all stand together as we read the word. We're in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And Peter says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you may be seated. Simple command. Crave. Desire the word of God that you may grow thereby. And so Peter's saying, therefore, and as you've heard me say 100 times before, therefore, you got to ask yourself, what is it therefore? It's just such a common thing to ask yourself that question. Why does it say therefore? Well, it's in light of everything that was said before, because of what I told you, that you are that new creation, that you are born again to this living hope, that you have the enduring word of God. Remember, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass, it withers. The flower, it falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. This word will outlast everything that you will build. It will outlast everything that mankind can conceive. This is the living, enduring word of God. And therefore, Peter tells us that we ought to love one another fervently with a pure heart. And now he's telling us that out of that, he's saying to us that we need to lay aside all this malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. Get rid of all of that. Instead, to desire the pure milk of this word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so I'm covering this in three parts. One is take out the trash. The other is treasure the word. And finally, then track the growth, because you will grow. Amen? And so first, let's look at this. Take out the trash. Look at the trash that he lays out before us. And it's the grossest of all the trash that Peter's talking about here. And the reason why is because the trash that he's talking about affects the relationships within the church, and it targets them. Paul makes sin less, right? He says, lay aside all wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, bitterness, backbiting, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of things, disobedient to parents. Paul likes to throw it all together in one sum, and it's all these different effects of sin, whereas Peter, he's focusing in on one thing right here. He's focusing in on relationship, because we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the living stones, which we will be talking about next week. We are the body of Christ. And therefore, he's targeting these particular things that are terrible things. And this is always, did you notice that this is always the way that it goes? That the gospel, the word of God approaches it this way, take out the trash and then receive the good. It's this thing where it's like, you don't want the trash in your house. You don't just take it out. When you take out the trash, you don't just take the garbage bag out of the garbage and then stick it in a corner and then put a new garbage bag in and just leave it in the corner like that. You know, maybe when I was first married, I pulled off a few things. Remember we had a garbage room in that first house and I threw out a chicken carcass once? And then we went away for a few days. And Angie didn't know I had left it in the trash room. We come home and we thought someone died in our house. And the garbage bag was like pulsing. And it was a terrible time. and the smell. Oh my goodness. You don't leave the trash in your house, you take it out. Why? Because there's no room in the house for things that are rotten. Why? Because it's trash. It needs to be removed. And this is the order. This is the order we see throughout. Paul talks this way. James talks this way. James in chapter 1:21 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You see the same order there. Take out the trash, receive the word. This is the order. So first, there's laying aside all the filthiness, the overflow of wickedness. In Peter's situation here, he's talking about specific things that will affect your relationships. You see, when I'm getting in gardening mode when I start giving my gardening illustrations, but when you prepare the ground, you first pull the weeds. You got to deal with the weeds. If you don't deal with the weeds, what you're going to find is that the weeds are hogs, aren't they? They steal the sunlight. They choke out the plants. They steal the nutrients. They hog up all the water, the moisture in the soil. And they seem to grow faster than anything else. And this is the same way in your life. When you allow the trash to be in your life, when you allow the weeds to grow up in your life, it displaces the good seed of the word of God. It chokes it all out. And that's what sins do in your soul. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Peter is showing us here that they poison your relationships. They poison your families. They poison your church relationships and your community relationships and your work relationships. They have no place because they destroy relationships which God desires for us to have. You see, malice is not a word we use very often. But what it means is that it's ill will. It's wishing bad on another. It's hoping for bad to happen to another person. How many of you can be honest and say, I have been malicious at some point in my life? I won't ask you if you've been malicious this week, but we can all be honest to say we have all wanted ill will for somebody else. What a sick thing. That was in here. That was in my heart. That was that rotten chicken carcass in my heart. It needed to go in order for the word of God to take its place. Deceit is trickery. We say deception. It is lying in the way that we are in our relationships in order to get our way, in order to try to push ourselves ahead. Hypocrisy is a pretense. It's just pretending. Remember, I had discussed with you last week about how it's like a mask that the Greek actors used, and they would hold up the mask to pretend they were this character, which really they were not. That is hypocrisy, and hypocrisy has no place within the church of Jesus Christ. Envy resents the good of anybody else. We can all say we've been envious. We resent it when other people get the things that we want instead of celebrating them, instead of rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. We rejoice when they weep and we envy when they rejoice. How wrong is that? We're a body. We should celebrate when somebody else in the body is getting the thing that we would have desired to have. And yet we can often be envious. And so all of these things ruin relationships, and all of these things need to be removed in their entirety. Notice the word he uses there. He says all. He doesn't say, you know, some of that deceit. He doesn't say some malice. He says all malice, all deceit, all of this. Remove it all. Don't leave just a little bit of trash in your house. Why would you want to keep any of it in your house? It needs to be removed. Paul uses similar language. We've talked about this in Ephesians, in our last series, Ephesians 4:22, when he says that you put off concerning your former conduct. This is the way you once were. You used to deal garbage all the time. He says, you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt. It's rotten like that rotten chicken carcass. I'm going to keep bringing that up. It's rotten. You put that away. You don't want that old rotten person anymore. You put it off. And he says instead, he says, which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, purity. This is what God wants for us. This whole picture of taking off the old and putting on the new. But in order to put on the new, you need to take off the world. You see, the world offers us stuff that never satisfies. Isn't that true? You ever eat a meal that you desired because it checked all the boxes? It had the sugar, it had the fats and the salt and all and the crunch, the texture, and it checked off all the boxes, but it left you feeling gross. That Chick-fil-A was so good. Sorry, Ange. Did you know I went to Chick-fil-A yesterday? I'm only saying it because I know Ken was going to call me out. He has a picture. He's going to text it to you. And so I thought I would get there in advance. And by the way, those who do listen online, Ken is mixing the sound, and it is phenomenal. And so he told me, he says, if you don't throw a plug in for me somewhere in the service, I'm sending Angie the picture. And so I thought, you know what, I'm gonna jump ahead there. But I don't know if you guys noticed yesterday, I get a little quiet later in the day. And I was just like, I gotta go home. That Chick-fil-A, it tasted so good. But yet, fast food, it's not filling. It's not satisfying. It didn't leave me feeling, you know, that I've been given nutrition. I was just satisfied. It satiated me for a moment, for a time. And what I want to say to you today is that is what the world does. That is the things of this world. You think you want this, and it gives you pleasure for a moment, but it leaves you empty, and it leaves you feeling broken. And my challenge to you today is, why do you keep going back to those old, disgusting places to fill yourself when you could come to the Word of God? Treasure the word. That's my second point. Treasure the word of God. And so Peter, he tells us what to lay aside. And then he tells us what to desire. And that is the pure word of God. The pure word. When we look at that picture, he says, as newborn babes. Now he's not telling you to be a bunch of immature babies. Okay? He's saying, desire this like a newborn baby desires the mother's milk. And, you know, we know this from sweets because we have like 40 children in the 0 to 4 range at the church. It's just an incredible amount of babies in this church. We've been so blessed. And it's a constant topic of where we're going to put the nursing room because of all the babies that are coming in the church. And we're so blessed. And it gives us this illustration. Those babies, they know what they desire. And it is the pure milk of the mom. And we are to desire the pure milk of God's word. So it's not an immaturity thing. It's not like we're babies that are, you know, always just needing just milk. But rather, it's we desire because we know, just as that baby knows, that that is goodness. You know, we often joke as a family because we watched this video when YouTube first came out. There was this one hilarious video about these little British girls, and they were doing a documentary, and these two little girls, the mom, she was into breastfeeding, but she maybe got carried away. The kids were like maybe way too old to be breastfeeding still, but I'm sure it was good for the kids. But it offered us some insight into the goodness of the mother's milk, because the one little girl is being interviewed, and she's like, so what is it like, you know? And she's like, oh, I love it. It is better than a million melons. And so it was always such a funny thing to us, like the million melons. And but she was able to put to words, maybe she shouldn't be able to because she's a little too old, but maybe she shouldn't have been able to. However, she expressed the beauty of the purity of the milk of her mom. It was nutritious and delicious, and she desired it. And the mom was just like, yeah, whatever. Well, let's keep going with this. But here's the truth. This is the pure word of God. This is what we are to desire. What happens, though? Why do we get to this place where we can grow tired of this in any way? Or why is it that some people never actually begin to desire the milk of the word? Why is it that many people do not treasure the word of God? I believe that one of the reasons is because they ruin their appetites based on what I just talked about in my previous point. They don't take out the trash. And if you satiate yourself with the trash of this world, you will never delight in the word of God. You see, until sin be bitter, the word of God will not be sweet to you. And it's like the moms that in this room. They all know this. They're cooking a meal, and it's like, and you know, I love cooking too. I was chef in the kitchen there. I get to yell at people, and then they're all like, "Yes, chef," and it was fun. We had some fun in the kitchen. I love seeing people work together to make a great meal, and Angie and I will get in the kitchen and cook up a really delicious meal. But then once in a while, someone in the family's like, "Oh, I'm just really hungry," and they you know, kind of like my daddy breaks out the cereal. And he pours himself a bowl of cereal. My mom is always like, "Dick, the food's almost ready. You're going to ruin your appetite." "No, I won't." And he eats his bowl of cereal. And yet you do. You know you do, right? Because once you've eaten that boxed non-food, the real food isn't as desirable. And yes, you were hungry in the moment, but instead of going for the real food, you end up filling yourself with something that's second. And it's not nutritious. And this is why people do not treasure the word of God, because you are satisfied but not satisfied. You're full, but you have not tasted that the Lord is gracious, and you do not enjoy time in his presence with him because you have filled yourself with the things of this world. And so if you look at your life today and you're like, "Yeah, I honestly don't spend much time with the word. I find no interest in the word of God," I want to tell you now, it's because of misdirected appetites. You got to take out that trash. You look at it, well, it's not all trash. You know, there's a lot of wholesome things. Listen, you have to develop an appetite for the word of God. I tell you, this book is pure. And not substitutes. Don't be like the dairy farmers in China who were trying to make a couple more bucks. So they took their milk and they put water in it in 2008. They put water in the milk, and then they tricked the protein process by adding melamine. You know melamine? It's like paint. It's used in countertops because they could trick the thing that showed how much protein was in the milk. So they watered it down, added chemicals, and poisoned 600,000 babies, killing six of them, hospitalizing like 50,000 babies, giving them kidney stones. Babies who desire the pure milk instead are given chemicals. And I want to challenge you today. You know, sometimes we want the word of God all chewed up for us and given to us in some more malleable format, something more palatable to you, and you know, give me my little devotion. Give me my verse of the day and tell me what it means. I want to challenge you today to desire the pure milk of the word. Unadulterated, just, you know, it's homogenized, full on, just read it. Read the word. Say, "Holy Spirit, help me. I don't understand this, but I believe that there's goodness to be had here, and there is life to be had here because I know Jesus is good, because I know that Jesus is good." In Psalm 19:10, David says that this is more to be desired than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. You could say maple syrup. You're in Canada, it's maple syrup season. Sweeter than maple from the maple tree. You see these guys out there. How many people are maple syrup people here that do this sap and everything? Anybody do that? Yeah, a couple of you. Anybody do the walnut sap? That's harder yet. That's 90-1. Good luck on that. Enjoy your teaspoon of walnut sap. It's syrup in the end. That's all you get. But it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. As Canadians, we know real maple syrup. We know why it costs $75 a jug for that stuff, because it's 40-1 ratio to get that. But it's so worth it, isn't it? because it's sweet, it's pure, it's so good. And this is the pure word of God. More to be desired than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. And it's not just useful. You don't just read the word saying, oh, this is going to change my, this is because it's good for me. Okay, I'll do it because it's good for me. If that's all you ever get to, you aren't going to desire the word of God. You're not going to go back to the word of God because there needs to be desire. You're going to find yourself like, yeah, it's useful, so I'll do it. But you need to get to a place where you see this as desirable, that you taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Do you see what Peter does there too? He says that more to be that this word, that we are to desire it as newborn babes, that we may grow thereby. And then he says, if indeed you have tasted and seen, not that the word is good or gracious, but that the Lord is gracious. Why? Because the Lord is the word of God. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word was made flesh. Jesus, he works through his word. He is his word. Jesus was with God in the beginning. God spoke and created all things. And in here is goodness. In here is grace. This line 3 reaches back to Psalm 34:8, which says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why the Bible is not meant to just be some information that you read. It's not just a box you check, although I am so thankful for the Bible app because it has gotten single-handedly more people around the world reading the Bible than next to any other type of, next to the printing press. I mean, those are the big two things in history. The printing press with Tyndale and Gutenberg, Bible throughout the whole world in the hands of the people. What a beautiful thing. The Bible app did the same thing in a powerful way. But never get in the mode of just checking the box. Never get in the mode of, oh yeah, I did the thing. Delight in the word of God. Take the time. Ask yourself, am I delighting in God's word? Cultivate an appetite. Have you ever tried to do the switch over from junk food to good food? And you just crave the junk food. It's because it's instant gratification. It just hits the brain. It's like, yes, right? Yeah, you've done the thing. And the brain says, yes, congratulations, you won the day. And then you feel terrible. And then you switch to the good food and you're just kind of like, oh, this is a process. And you crave in the junk and you just want to go for that. But eventually what happens? Your mind switches and you're eating the good stuff and you're like, oh, I can't believe I used to eat that. And then you drink a soda, you drink a Coke, and you're like, oh my goodness, that's terrible. I haven't had one of those in like a year. And it just feels like my teeth are going to just rot out of my head. They're just, you know, the acid and the sugars, and you feel the spike, and you're like, this doesn't even taste good. How did I ever like this? Have you ever done that? Maybe you should. If you're not nodding with me, maybe you should try it sometime. Otherwise, we won't know each other too much longer. But You need good nutrition. But what happens is your mind begins to switch and you begin to appreciate real food. You begin to see the goodness in it and you crave real food. And then when you try the junk again, you just feel gross. And so this is my challenge to you, is that we just do a junk fast, a take out the trash time. And that you treasure the word of God, spend time in his word. And once you do that, then you do this. You track the growth. You know, we were doing that. We were cheering with the Linda Booms, with tracking the growth, right, Linda Booms? With the babies, the little ones. And you always hear, they take them home from the hospital and they go from like 7 pounds to like 6 pounds. Like they drop weight right away. And then the big thing, the goal is they're back to birth weight. And everybody's like, yeah, you know, we've been praying. And, you know, the babies are getting their nutrition. They're back to birth weight. Way to go, Linda Booms. You know, way to go, Lord. We are praying for those little babies. And these are the things that we desire. We celebrate when a baby grows. Why? Because that is what the pure word does. The pure milk, it causes growth. It builds us up. Hebrews 5, they got a little bit of a rebuke in Hebrews 5:12. Those Christians heard this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Now, don't get me wrong. He's not saying there's anything against the milk. Milk is good, but he's saying that you guys just aren't growing up. You're not benefiting from the word of God. And he challenges them. We should be looking at our lives and asking the question, are we growing? Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 4:14. He says that we should no longer be like children, tossed to and fro, thrown around, carried about by every wind of doctrine in the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, knowing there's people out there who want to destroy you, the enemy wants to destroy you, and we shouldn't be like little babies getting thrown around. We need to be growing up. You all have that in your house, right? The little growth chart. I was talking to your brother Adrian the other day, Dom. And I said, he was standing there, and he loves basketball. He just dreams of being a great basketball player someday. And his mom is Dutch, and his dad is Croatian, two tallest nations on earth, right? And he's in grade 7, and he's already, like, almost as tall as me. But he's still, like, shorter than me, so I'm kind of looking down on him a little bit. I'm like, hey, yeah, Adrian, you know, I know you're grade 7, but there's still hope. You know, you might grow taller. But if you don't, you might just be a really good dribbler. You know, and you know, you got to think about some of those short guys, you know, like that doctor, you know, whatever his name is. He does all those trick shots and stuff. He doesn't make the NBA, but he's pretty good. You know, you could be that guy. And I'm just teasing him a little bit because I know he's just like, there's such this effort. I just want to grow. And so he's trying to eat the right things. And, you know, you want to get that height. You want to get that nutrition. All you parents have those little, you know, charts on your door, the little thing. We wanted to cut it out of our old house, you know, 17 years in that home, and we had the door frame, and it's just like, oh, can I just take that with, you know, all the little growth charts. Why? Because that is natural. That is the whole purpose of nutrition, of the milk, of the food. The pure word of God should bring spiritual growth. And it's not just this maturity of like, oh, now I know all the answers. Bible, you know, I'm in Sunday school class there, and Dave Armstrong asks a question, I get them all right. Congratulations. That's not the whole point. That's a great thing to have. But it has to go further than that, right, Dave? It's got to go to a place of maturity in your heart, where people see that you don't just have the knowledge, but that you have the maturity and the wisdom and the grace. Are you growing in love? Paul prayed. He says that they would abound in love still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that it would be a love that is deep and lasting. This is what we desire for our church family, that you would take out the trash, that you would treasure the word of God, and that you would then be able to just track the growth, that you would look at your life and just be able to, not in this navel gazing, oh, I'm just nothing, like not this Eeyore down on your, I'm terrible, like, you know, I'm just, but rather just an introspective realizing of, have I been moving anywhere in my life? Am I still telling the same faith stories I told 20 years ago because I have no new ones about that one time I told somebody about Jesus or helped somebody out that needed help? Because that's the only stories I have because I haven't done anything since then? Do I have a faith story this week about how God has changed my life and caused me to act differently this week than I would have acted last week because I treasure his word. I delight in his word. And as Amanda read this morning, that I am like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever I do shall prosper. Why? Because I delight in the word of God. And I make it my delight day and night. This is what God's desire is for you. And you'll see the growth. Greater love, greater self-control, greater usefulness, more hatred of sin. You find that as you're growing in the faith, just more hatred of sin, more wisdom too, just looking at the world and just realizing that it's just a whole bunch of people playing big games with each other, and you're just looking at it saying, wow, what a show. God, thank you, you're in control ultimately, because wow, what a world we live in. What a crazy place. But God, you will have your way. You will have the final say. And so in every way I can, help me to bring light and life and grace and love to those that are around me. So what's Peter calling you to this morning? Let's have the band come up. What is Peter calling you to this morning? Have you taken out the trash? Or is there something that you're just holding on to? Are you treasuring the trash? Something you're not willing to give up because it provides some sort of comfort. It's a habit you're not willing to let go of. It satisfies you in some just fleshly, weak fulfillment. Peter is saying, give it up. Take out the trash. Are you holding on to malice? Are you holding on to deceit? Are you holding on to any hypocrisy? Are you two-faced in any way? Are you envious? Does it eat you up? That's why they call it green with envy. Are you in any way speaking evil? The Greek there is to speak against your own body, your own family, your own friends, because it pushes you up higher when you do that. If that's the case, take that out. Are you struggling with treasuring the Word of God? You see, the Holy Spirit inspired this. If the Holy Spirit didn't inspire it, I don't think that Peter and Paul and James would all say the same thing. Lay aside, put it away, take it off, and put on what God has for you. And so, treasure the Word of God. And then once you do that, track the growth, because I believe that you will grow as you delight here in the pure Word of God. But start somewhere. That's my challenge for you today.